Here we are on this February the 15th in the year of our Lord 2017. And who is we? Law and Gospel. I'm Pastor Tom Baker, and today is Insight Wednesday. So what do we do on an Insight Wednesday? We attempt to give you some kind of analogy or understanding of Scripture that you might not have normally thought about, and I'm quite confident that today that's going to be a very good example. First of all, I want to deal with a passage that was actually part of the Old Testament reading last Sunday from Deuteronomy chapter 30. See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. Now, would anybody disagree with that, that that's what God does? He sets before us life and good? Well, listen to the next verse to see how that comes into being. Verse 16, if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I command you today, by loving the Lord your God, by walking in his ways, and by keeping the commandments and his statutes and his rules, then you shall live and multiply. Time and time again, when you read the Bible, it appears that it contradicts Lutheran theology. Well, what do I mean by that? Well, Lutheran theology teaches very clearly that we are not saved by our works. We got plenty of Bible passages from Ephesians, not by works lest anyone should boast. We're saved through faith. But here in Deuteronomy 30, I have set before you today life and good if you obey the commandments of the Lord. Now, how can that possibly be understood from a Lutheran point of view? We're going to explain how that can occur by means of an analogy. And what is the analogy we're going to use? You may be surprised with this. We're going to talk about the new law in Missouri that permits a concealed carry weapon without having to obtain a permit. What has that got to do with theology? Well, hold on here and you'll kind of figure that out. Well, we're not here to argue that the law should have been adopted or should not have been adopted. That's up to you as an individual to make your own decision. But I want to point out the myths a lot of people hold if they believe, if I had a concealed weapon, then guess what? I am going to be protected. So the first thing we have to do is describe what a myth is. The definition I appreciate is a widely held but false belief. And you often will teach a myth in order to get a response from the person you're teaching. One of the best examples I can think of is Santa Claus. How many children think that if they're good, then Santa Claus will give them a wonderful gift? Now, the parents know that Santa Claus is a myth, but the kids don't. So, another definition, which I really like, is a myth is a product of man's emotion and imagination. So, here's my definition of a myth. A myth is a figment of a person's imagination rather than the reality of what lies behind the situation. It's a figment of your imagination. Now, what has that got to do with concealed carry weapons? Well, you can't believe how many myths people hold in regard to having a concealed carry weapon. Since the law was adopted, many more people are getting concealed carry weapons. And because it's no longer necessary to have a permit, they think it's no longer necessary to have any training in carrying a concealed weapon. They may live on a farm where they can go and shoot a target, or they may even go to a gun shooting range to hit the target. And that leads to the first myth. People believe that if they're good at target shooting at a piece of paper, they'll also be good at shooting someone who is running towards you to shoot you, or with a knife. In a recent YouTube video, a policeman who was an expert target shooter got in a gunfight with a man who pulled a rifle from his truck after he was pulled over. The policeman shot his pistol 24 times, but he only hit the man one time. See, that's the first myth. That when you are shooting at a target, you might take 1 or 2 seconds between firings, whereas a proper concealed carry training would have you shoot your gun 12 times in 3 seconds. Why is that? Well, let's say your first bullet hits your attacker. Guess what? Only 7% of bullets that strike your attacker first are able to make him fall to the ground. First of all, it's hard to hit a vital organ. Second of all, some of these criminals wear bulletproof vests. And so what they have found out, and this is another myth that people have, that if I can only shoot him once, he'll fall down. No. Criminals can still attack you for 30 to 45 seconds after they have been shot once because of the difficulty in hitting a vital organ with the first shot, or just because of the adrenaline that they have rushing in them. So we've seen two myths. The first one is, if I'm good at target shooting, I'll be good at shooting an attacker. No, that's not true. Second of all, if I can get one bullet in him, that will make him drop. No, you've seen too many movies. 7% of bullets that strike the attacker first only allow him to fall to the ground, which means 93% of the time he's still attacking you for 30 to 45 seconds after he had been shot. The other item is about protecting yourself from a criminal. How do you do that? You see, you have certain instincts. And one would hope that if somebody is attacking you, you might decide to fight or you might decide to flee. But guess what your normal instinct is? To freeze. For example, the policeman unfortunately died when the criminal fired at him with a rifle, and he did die from the wound. And part of the problem was, after emptying his pistol, the policeman was not able to reload his pistol within 2 seconds. And if you are not able to reload your pistol within 2 seconds, the criminal will always have the advantage. Now, what am I saying here? Should you therefore not go after a concealed weapon and carry it around with you? No, that's going to be up to you. What I am saying is that if you are not trained to dispel the myth that you have, as long as you have a concealed weapon, you could be in worse shape. Because instinctively, nobody is born to act properly. I mean, whoever thinks that you have to shoot a whole bunch of ammunition within just a few seconds, whoever thinks you have to be able to reload within 2 seconds, whoever thinks that once you shoot somebody, they're going to fall down and they don't realize they're going to still be able to attack you for 30 to 45 seconds. Those are myths. Now, I'm not using the myths to discourage people who desire to have a concealed carry weapon, but to remind you that with the instincts that you are born with, you're probably not going to be in a situation to truly protect yourself. So, what is my caution? if you want to have a concealed carry weapon, this necessitates going to a proper class taught by a professional who demonstrates how to overcome your normal instincts, replacing them with the proper use of the weapon. I mean, how many people who buy a gun to conceal want it small enough so it can be concealed, and therefore the ammunition probably wouldn't stop a rabbit, let alone a human being? With a proper professional, he can help you get a weapon that would be able to stop someone. In other words, the bullet, the ammunition would be strong enough to do that. But the most important thing that a professional will teach you is the following. Overcome your normal instincts when you see that you're being attacked and replace them with what they call muscle memory exercises. What does that mean? It means that you train yourself, and this would take hours on end, how to use a concealed weapon so it really does protect you. I remember I used this analogy during a sermon, and a couple of people came up and they said, well, I think you've convinced me not to get a concealed weapon. That wasn't my point. It was that if you're going to do that, you better be trained how to use it. I gave an example in the sermon. When I'm at Trinity Orchard Farm, there's a lot of cornfields around there. And for about 6 weeks, you'll not have certain members at church every Sunday because when they need to harvest their crop, the weather's got to be pretty good. And therefore, they need that time to be harvesting their crop rather than coming to church. I don't have a problem with that. It's kind of like a nurse working on Sunday or a policeman on Sunday. No, we shouldn't be against that. But here was the thing I said. One of the farmers phones me, says, Pastor Tom, I'm not feeling well today, but the weather is perfect to run the combine. Could you do that for me for a few hours? Now, I know that modern combines even have computers and all kinds of helpful items. But you don't want Pastor Tom Baker running a $400,000 machine without proper training. I was watching the combine, and it cleared a field very, very quickly I think it was beans we were watching. And the gentleman really knew how to run that combine. I don't know how to run a combine. And so you would think, well, you just get up. It's got a steering wheel, and it's got gears, and you just move. No, there are so many other things that you have to be aware of. So what does all this concealed carry and combine driving got to do with KFUO and theology? If you've heard any of my sermons for the past 6 months while preaching at Trinity Orchard Farm, I begin every sermon with a question that leaves confusion in the minds of those who are listening. Why? Because we often listen to the Bible on the basis of myths that we have grown up with. What do I mean by that? Well, one myth, and I've heard this, is that you need to take the Bible literally, not metaphorically. Now, when people say that, they're probably saying something like, therefore, when God says he created the world in 6 24-hour days, don't think that's a metaphor for evolution. Now, that would be a correct statement. But I don't agree that you are to take the Bible literally. There's passages in the Psalms about the mountains jumping for joy. You really think mountains jump around for joy? No, that's a metaphor to talk about how even all creation is joyous at the coming of Jesus Christ, the Savior. So you really need to be careful that you don't take the Bible literally. And that's why Deuteronomy 30 is really a problem for a lot of people because they take the Bible literally. Remember verse 15, I've set before you today life and good. And then verse 16, how do you get life and good? If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I command you today. Well, if you take that literally, then what does it mean? Just talk to anybody, a Christian, and say, when you're thinking about the Bible and you hear the word commandments, what is the first item that comes to your mind? And I guarantee you that they will be talking about the Ten Commandments. In other words, when they read Deuteronomy 30, they have a myth in their mind that the commandments of the Lord your God are those that tell you you are to obey the Ten Commandments. And that's how you get life. I mean, you hear this on a lot of other radio stations that, yes, I am a Christian because I'm now obeying the commandments better than I did before. You don't take the Bible literalistically. That would have mountains jumping around. But you often don't take it literally. How do you know whether to take a scripture passage literally or in a different way? The principle we use is not the grammarian principle of taking the Bible literally, but taking the Bible using scripture interprets scripture. So how does that help us with Deuteronomy 30? Because it sure sounds like that the way you get life is by obeying the Ten Commandments. But it is not mentioned. The Decalogue, that's 10 words found in Exodus 20, is not specifically mentioned. It's talking about the commandments of God. And there's a passage here that really is kind of helpful when you take a look at it. And the passage is from Deuteronomy 30, when God is talking about obeying the commandments. And what he says is something that a lot of people appear to miss. What they appear to miss is in the context. For example, it says that when you don't use scripture properly, then verse 17 explains the problem. It says that we no longer obey God, not when we disobey the Ten Commandments, but when our heart turns away, we no longer listen to the true God. We worship other gods and serve them. And then it says, therefore you shall surely perish. Now, scripture interprets scripture means you really want to use what's called a concordance. A concordance is a book that has all the words in the Bible in it, and then tells you what passages they're found. So the words that I would be looking for are perish. Is that found anywhere else to explain what God means by not obeying his commandments? He already has said is it occurs when our heart turns away and we no longer listen to God. Well, does Jesus ever talk about what commandment is necessary so that you do not perish? Now, if you want to get to heaven by your works, you just go to the Sermon on the Mount. It tells you all the things you would have to do, which, of course, is impossible. So the Sermon on the Mount is a good place to look at to see if you mean by the commandments of God the Ten Commandments, then that's not what God is talking about. Because nobody can obey the Ten Commandments, and yet all Christians are saved. So, where else does Jesus talk about a commandment that if you do not do, guess what? You will perish. It's found in Luke 13, verse 3. Jesus says, I tell you, unless you repent, you will perish. Notice he does not say, unless you obey, but unless you repent. This year is the 500th anniversary of the Lutheran Reformation when Luther's first thesis of the 95 was that the life of the Christian is one of repentance. He does not say the life of the Christian is one of obedience. Now, it is obedience towards repenting, being contrite over your sins, recognizing that you cannot save yourself, looking to Jesus as the source of your salvation. To follow after other gods is to follow their mythological teachings that all you have to do is stop your sins, do some good works, and you can balance out your sins with good works so that God will save you. That's a myth. See, under the old covenant, just go to Exodus 24. The old covenant that is no longer in effect was that all the things that God has told us we will obey. Well, that lasted till the golden calf. It's impossible to be saved by obeying the Ten Commandments. The new covenant has a new way of salvation. What we are unable to do, God does for you. He obeys all the commandments when he was on earth as the God-man, and then he transfers over to you all that obedience with the robe of righteousness. So Deuteronomy 30 is absolutely correct if you take it with Scripture, interpret Scripture. God sets before us life and good, and the obedience of the commandments that God wants us to do is that we would repent. And that gift of repentance is a gift from the Holy Spirit so that we become contrite over our sins, recognize that we're poor, miserable sinners, and guess what? We don't follow the myths of other gods thinking that we can make up for our sins by offsetting them with good works. You see, just like concealed carry classes is meant to destroy the myths that you have about that topic, where people will say, well, if I have a concealed weapon, I'm going to be safe. A professional will show you that sometimes it can be even less safe than just running away or staying out of situations where you have to use your gun. Why? Because people instinctively act in the wrong way when they have a concealed carry. And they need to be trained as to how to act in the correct way. I believe the same is true in reading the Bible. Where do you get the instincts to read the Bible in the wrong way? It comes from the old Adam. The old Adam instinctively believes the myths that people have surrounded the Bible with, rather than understanding it from a law and gospel point of view. You see, you have already received life and good rather than death and evil because of the death of Jesus Christ on the cross and his resurrection from the dead, which you now trust through the faith given to you by the Holy Spirit. And that trust results in the following conclusions you make about yourself. Number one, I am a sinner, deserving nothing but temporal and eternal punishment. Number two, it is impossible for me to offset my sins with any good works. Number three, I am contrite over my sin. That means repentant. And number four, for some reason, God grants me the gracious, undeserved gift of the forgiveness of sins and the robe of righteousness. And that robe of righteousness, therefore, permits me to come forward on a Sunday morning and receive the very body and blood of Jesus Christ. Are there other myths that our old Adam has us believe in that gets in the way of Scripture? Yes, there are. And on tomorrow's Law and Gospel, with the help of Wes Reimnitz, We'll give you some examples of other myths by using Bible passages that if you take them literally, you will miss entirely the word of salvation given by Jesus Christ. You may have a myth that you'd like to share with us. You can email me at lawandgospel@lawandgospel101.com. And we might be able to bring it on the program tomorrow. So, that's why we use concealed carry. That is filled with myths that you need to be trained out of. When you read the Bible, the old Adam has myths that you need to be trained out of. And we'll talk about that more tomorrow on Law and Gospel. I'm Tom Baker, tomorrow with Wes Reimnitz. Until then, God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday at this time on Worldwide KFUO. For a contribution to the program, make your check payable to Law and Gospel and mail it to Pastor Tom Baker, Post Office Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. You can call toll-free at 1-877-267-1962 or email lawandgospel@lawandgospel101.com. Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.